Chapter 17. Last week, we saw what giants are all about. That giants are obstacles to serving God. Today, we're going to see that the giant is dead. Picture with me, if you will. The army of Israel is lined up along the hillside and they're looking down on the valley. Down in the middle of the valley is the very obvious giant. And David, this young man, I don't know if they could hear the conversation, but somewhere along the way, the army of Israel watches as David takes out his sling, puts a stone in it, and he doesn't just stand there. He runs toward the giant and slings that stone. I wonder what they expected. Here's this giant with his armor and his armor bearer, and he's a huge man. Here's little David, the teenage boy, no armor at all. Sling, stone. Stone flies through the air, and the Bible says the stone sank into the giant's head. And as the armies of Israel looked on, down he went. Amen? About 1,000 years later, some people were looking on. They were standing around watching as Roman soldiers nailed the hands of our Savior to a cross and lifted him up there on that hill at Golgotha. I don't know what people were expecting to happen. But 3 days later, our Savior rose from the dead. Amen. Just like the day when that giant died, when Jesus rose from the dead, a giant was slain. You and I, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, folks, our sins have all been paid for. Our redemption has been purchased. The curse of the law is no more. But most important of all, perhaps I'll say, those are all very important things, but also, there's now nothing to keep us from serving God. I'm not going to read many verses because there's so many, but I'm going to select a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to pick a few verses here, and I'll tell you which ones to read. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. We're going to begin in verse 17, 1 Samuel 17, 17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of to thy brethren. Verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. Look at verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Jump down to verse 45, if you would, please. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou camest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all Israel may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we come before you and thank you for the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has won for us. Father, we thank you that the giant of sin, the giant of the curse of the law, the giant of hopelessness in needing salvation but not being able to earn it for ourselves, the giant of finding someone worthy, that giant has been defeated. The Bible says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Father, this morning as we assemble here, I ask that you would be a blessing to each person, to each one who can hear this message. Help us to realize the victory has already been won. We're on the winning side. The end is sure. There's no more doubt. There's nothing to be afraid of. Our Savior has won the day, and he is preparing a place for us to live with him for all eternity. Father, I pray if there is one here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that today they would find Christ. I pray that if there is one here that is living their life for themselves and not serving God, not faithfully serving God in a local church, that today you'd help them to realize the battle has been won. There's nothing left to keep them from walking with God and serving him. I ask you to bless our service now and bless each one present. Be with those that are away from us. Keep them safe and bring them back to us safely, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As the giant lay on the ground, the armies of Israel looking on, the Philistines looking on, in that one moment, everything changed. For 40 days, the giant had presented himself and gone undefeated. In fact, he was even unopposed. No one dare enter into the valley with that giant. They knew they had no hope, or at least they thought they didn't. And then on that day, when little David went down there and killed that giant, in one moment, everything changed. You'll see the consequences of that change in just a moment, but I just want you to pause and think about that. Picture yourself there, if you could, looking down in the valley. I kind of like to think that when that giant hit the ground, there was a thud. Boom. And other than that thud, I think for a moment there was dead silence. One of my favorite pictures in the Bible is that day when the Lord Jesus Christ lay there silently in that tomb, very quiet, very still, his crucified body motionless, his heart silent, his lungs not moving, his blood not flowing, and yet no corruption, no decay. The Bible makes that very clear. And with that, I think, still sealed tomb, in that darkness of that moment, as the body of our Savior lay there, all of a sudden the heart began to beat. That sends chills down my back when I think about it. The lungs began to breathe. And the Lord rose from the dead. Amen? Amen. Silence, except for that one event. But after that giant was dead, after the Lord rose, now some things could begin to happen. Three things that apply to you and I, and I want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to say to you. Folks, I don't know how to say it any better. The giant is dead. The Lord has won the victory. Could he not come back today? If he came back today, where would your plans be? The Christmas shopping you've done wouldn't make much difference, I guess. That's okay. I'd rather be with the Lord. Amen? But if he came back today, where would your plans be? If he came back today, would the effort that you expended last week have been wasted? Or did it have eternal value? Three things I can see that we can use regarding the giant's death. And I just want to mention something right before I show you that. David is a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in several different ways. And one of them we need to remember, because I'm going to show you some more about that here in just a minute. But back in verse 17 and verse 20, and I won't read those again, the reason David went to the battle is because his father sent him. Do you see that in verse 17? Jesse, his father, said, go. And then in verse 20, the Bible says he rose up early and he went. Jesus is pictured by David. He was sent by his father to win the victory for you and I. A victory we could not win for ourselves. Amen? And he came and he accomplished that task. The difference being, he sacrificed his life to win that victory, whereas David did not die. The giant has been defeated. Sin has been conquered. Death has been conquered. There is no longer anything standing between you and a relationship with God the Father. You have access to that now. The Bible says, to as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That word power means authority. You have nothing standing between you and a relationship with God. It's your own choice now. You won't be able to stand before God one day and say, I couldn't. The giant's dead. Look what happens here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 52, if you would, please. Verse 52. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way. Since the giant is dead, now the time has come for us to rout the enemy. Let me say that differently, because I was talking to my wife this morning and I realized not many folks use that word that way. The word rout means to completely defeat. To claim the victory. Now watch. Looking down in that valley, David slings that stone. Probably could have heard a pin drop right about then. Thud. The giant is dead. All the armies of Israel are assembled along the hillside watching this. Can you imagine one of those soldiers up there saying, "Well, that was nice. Let's go home." Doesn't make any sense, does it? How can they not go forward now that the victory is sure? Amen? I like talking to people about the Lord going door to door, because it seems like no one understands the giant is dead. We ask people all the time, "What's going to happen to you when you die?" Most of them say, "I don't know." A few of them will say, "I think I'm going to go to heaven because I'm good enough." That's kind of like saying, "I think I could defeat the giant. Yeah, I might get lucky." They don't understand the giant is dead. The victory's already been won. I'd hate to stand at that door and tell them, "Hope you can defeat that giant. That giant stands between you and heaven. If you lose, you go to hell. Good luck." I wouldn't want to tell them that. Last week, the Jehovah's Witnesses, or 2 weeks ago, were in the same street. They're telling people, "Hope you can defeat that giant." Other churches, cults, even mainstream denominations, they're telling people, "Hope you can defeat that giant." Folks, the giant's dead. The victory has been won. All you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him, as the Bible says. It's time to go after the enemy. I would be ashamed to have to say that I stood there on the side of the hill as a soldier of God, watched the giant fall to the ground dead, and then didn't enter into the battle. "Yeah, that was nice. I'm glad the giant's dead. Good job, David. See y'all later." And go off home. I want to ask you a question. Are you in the battle? Amen? I'm not asking you, are you a soldier of God? God put you in His army. The question is, are you serving? Are you going soul winning? Somewhere in our midst, I think God has a bus driver. I think perhaps that bus driver's in this room right now. There's a battle to be fought. Somewhere in this room, there are some people that know other folks they can invite to church, other folks they can pray for and witness to. Are you in the battle? The giant's dead. There's nothing standing between you and serving God. Folks, it's time to go to war. It's time to claim the territory. It's time to rout the Philistines. It's time to be in God's army and be busy about it, because our commander's coming back someday soon. And He won't come back to examine our bank account. He won't come back to see how wealthy we are. He won't come back to see if we had plenty of entertainment in our life. He's going to come back and ask us, what did you do with the talents that I gave you? Did you hide them in a cloth? Or did you gain more talents? It's time to rout the enemy, amen? To rout the foe. Now that the giant's dead, let's go to battle. There's a second thing. Look at verse 55, if you would, please. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 55. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. The king said, inquire thou, whose son this stripling is? David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul, the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Because the giant is dead, the first thing we need to do is we need to rout or ravage the foe. We need to get into the battle. The second thing we need to do is remember the Father. Say, Pastor, what on earth? I can say it this way most easily. This young man that won the victory must come from a good family. Amen? There's something special about him. He's not ordinary. Whose father? Where did this young man come from? Today, one of the greatest misunderstandings is who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Every time you see somebody wearing a Muslim veil or talking about how Islam is a good religion, you need to know something. Islam teaches that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That's a very offensive thought in my mind. And I'm not God. You think about how God feels about that. Those of us who have sons, we know something. And those of you who are sons here today and your father's here with you, nothing wrong with daughters. I got two of them also. But sons are very special to their fathers. And that relationship is very special. And fathers are very proud of their sons. Fathers have high hopes for their sons. And fathers love their sons. And fathers expect their sons to grow up and do great things for God and to be victorious. And for you to come to me and say, he's not your son, that's very offensive. It's not a coincidence that God puts this at the end of this chapter and says, let's find out who the father is. Where did this young man come from? That's kind of Christmassy, isn't it? It's Christmas. And we remember the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin because his father is God. His blood is special. His heritage is not just human. His heritage is divine. He's the Son of God. Where did this Savior come from that could pay for the sins of the world? Make that personal. Where did this Savior come from that could pay for your sins? That could defeat the giant for you? He came from God the Father. Amen? Let's make sure we know who He is. It'll cause us to do a couple of things. Number one, it'll cause us to thank God for His goodness. John 3:16, so familiar. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 1 says He's the only begotten of the Father. Now, you and I are children of God, sons and daughters of God, because we have been adopted into God's family. But Jesus is the only begotten Son. That doesn't mean one of a kind, like modern Bible versions say. That demeans Christ. That means the only begotten, the one generation truly born of miraculous circumstances to where Mary, a virgin, had a child because the Holy Ghost came upon her. We need to remember the Father. It's a very special thing to realize, not just that Jesus defeated and killed that giant, but that he was sent by God his Father. And I would encourage you to thank God for that. Amen? He loved you enough to send his Son. There's a third thing, and this one is a lot of fun. I don't have a particular verse for this, but you know it's true, and I could point you to some places like John 14, but let me just review where we've been. The giant is dead. The obstacle is gone. Sin has been defeated. There's nothing to keep you from having fellowship with God, from serving God. There's nothing to keep you from living with God for all eternity now. The giant is dead. Because of that, we need to rout the foe. We need to go into the battle. Because of that, we need to remember the Father. Because it was not just any son that defeated that giant. It was the Son of God. And thirdly, we need to reward the fighter, or the victor is a good word. Now look back, I will give you a verse. Look at verse 26. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 26. Reward the fighter, or reward the victor. 1 Samuel 17, 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I want you to know something. When Jesus won the victory, it's only a matter of time before he comes and claims the spoils. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back for you and me. You see, he won you. He won me if you're saved. We belong to him. Why would I, as a child of God, spend all of my time building up wealth in this world when I have a home in heaven? Why would I, as a child of God, I have been redeemed, the Bible says, he bought me back. Why would I want to spend my time laying up treasure on this earth when this earth is not my home? I like that song. It says, "We're just a passing through." And then the song says, "Our treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Where is your treasure? Jesus won you for himself. Do you remember Psalm 2? Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm, and the Bible says that God promised. He said to the Son, "I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." You know who the heathen are? That's me and you. We belong to him. I think God takes good care of his possessions, don't you? Not even a sparrow, not even a bird falls that God doesn't see that happen. And yet the Bible says that God knows what we need. God can take care of us, amen? Folks, the giant's dead. The victory has been won. It's time to rout the foe. It's time to remember the Father. It's time for you and I to get ready, because any day now, God's going to reward his son for the victory. Let's stand and pray.